Would you turn to Acts chapter 2 in your Bibles this evening? After what Pastor Rain said about super scrub, I'm glad we got it out of the way before the preaching. I might have been so curious, I might have had a hard time paying attention too. It's exciting to be here. We are always encouraged and blessed when we're here and thankful for what the Lord is doing in this ministry. Your faith is spoken up throughout the world. And we're excited about what's happening in Shawnee, Wisconsin. We had Brother Weber. I was able to get him all the way out to North Carolina and gave him some Southern culture. And anyway, I was so encouraged by our friendship and impressed by what the Lord's doing in his heart. We were able to get him out there. And then this last Sunday evening, our church voted to take them on for monthly support. And just thrilled at being able to have a little part in what God is doing in Wisconsin. And thankful for that. Acts chapter 2 in your Bibles, verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. They continued steadfastly. That is the 120 and then the 3,000 now added to them. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Let's pray. Father, would you help us? I ask you in the next few moments, we are desperate for your help, Lord. All is vain unless your spirit moves in our hearts and in our midst through this book. And so God, we're asking for that this evening, and that our hearts would be encouraged and that our souls would be hungry. The full soul loatheth the honeycomb, but to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. So, Lord, we want to come with hungry hearts tonight, thanking you for the promise that if we do, we'll be filled. And so we ask for that tonight, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. About 2 years ago, I read a book that noted the characteristics of dead or dying churches, and it's possible for a church to still be meeting and be dead. And one of the characteristics that the author of this book that had done this analysis pointed out is this, that when a church quit praying together, it needed life support. In many ways, we could say then that that being the case, as important as a church praying together is, that this may well be, the Wednesday evening prayer meeting, may well be the most important service in the life of Falls Baptist Church, Crossroads Baptist Church in North Carolina. Along with that burden, the Lord worked in my heart about implementing some very practical ways that as a church we could be praying corporately. And I stood up on a Sunday morning 2 years ago, and I just simply made this announcement. I said to the men of the church, I said, I'm going to start being here every Saturday night at 8 p.m. And any of you that would like to join me in corporate prayer for God's power on this ministry, you can be here. And I'm encouraged and thrilled to tell you that in 2 years I've not prayed alone. Saturday nights. God is doing a mighty work in regards to our commitment to corporate prayer. And then at the first of this year, I became burdened, and I met with our assistant pastor and our deacons and talked to them about this. I became burdened about giving more emphasis to corporate prayer in our prayer meeting. And we have scaled back the preaching time on Wednesday evenings, not as a de-emphasis upon preaching, but in order to reassert the biblical emphasis of corporate prayer. And so you can imagine how encouraged I was when Pastor Stephen talked to me this afternoon and said that God has been doing similar things here as well. And a thrill to think about the power of corporate prayer. And I want to just speak briefly tonight on that subject. When I think about the power of corporate prayer, I'm reminded of the story of Spurgeon's furnace room. The boiler room, as it was called, a group of young university students, as the story is told, wanted a tour of Metropolitan Tabernacle, and they didn't recognize the bearded man that met them and hosted them and gave them a tour of the church. But at the end of the tour there in London, he took them downstairs to a lower level room and opened the door, and there As I understand it, several hundred men were on their knees praying, and he referred to it as the furnace room or the boiler room. This is where the heat or the power, and as I understand it, even though we would have some differences with the Metropolitan Tabernacle where it is today, those prayer meetings are still going. All extended from the ministry of Spurgeon there. I love the testimony of George Mueller, and I'm sure you do as well. Though it's not necessarily in relation to corporate prayer, it is said that as long as Mueller lived and prayed in Bristol, no atheist dared raise his head. The power of prayer. As I look at the passage before us, in Acts chapter 2, we're dealing with the subject of Pentecost. And think about this, verse 41, these 3,000 folks hear the word of God. They gladly receive it. They follow the Lord in believers' baptism. They're added the same day to the membership of the church at Jerusalem. And can you imagine the discipleship logistics of that? Here's the church of, as far as the people on the ground there, Acts chapter 1 tells us 120 of them that were the number of the names that were there. And now all of a sudden this church, proportionately smaller than the fruits of the evangelistic campaign of the day of Pentecost, now they're faced with the task of discipling 3,000 new believers. That'd be a great problem to have, wouldn't it? But you know what I notice? You look at verse number 42, and it gives us, in a sense, their discipleship plan. How did they handle these 3,000 new believers? They continued steadfastly, notice this, four things, in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, breaking of bread. And then for our purposes tonight, I want us to focus on this and in prayers. These new believers, one of the initial, if you want to do percentages, 25% of the discipleship ministry of the church at Jerusalem was, let's get these new believers involved in corporate prayer. Let's get them praying. And it's because corporate prayer is a part of the DNA of a local New Testament church. On Wednesday nights, in keeping with our renewed focus on corporate prayer at Crossroads Baptist Church, on Wednesday nights, One of the things that we're doing is, of course, giving that renewed emphasis to what's taking place when it comes to this issue of prayer. We're involving everybody in it, and some wonderful things are happening as a result of this work that God is doing, giving this time to it. We are encouraged. I think about how you can, as I think about the power of corporate prayer, I think first of all of this, just to move along here. There's power in corporate prayer because of its utilization. It puts every believer to work. It allows every believer to get involved. It's part of this discipleship work. Several weeks ago on Wednesday evening, I was praying with a group of young boys. Our children's program was suspended for the summer, and then it'll pick back up in the fall. But I called one of the young boys up to pray with me. We get on our knees, we pray in the auditorium together, and pretty soon four other young boys came and flocked together and got on our knees, and we began praying. And on the first Wednesday night of every month, we have what's called Holding the Ropes Night, and one of our men gives reports on our missionaries, and we pray specifically for missionaries. And it's powerful to me how much these little guys catch when it comes to the burdens, the needs, the praises, the things that God is doing in the lives of these missionaries. And this one little boy, 4 years old, we were praying for one of our missionary families by the last name of Shields. They were having visa trouble in the country where they're serving the Lord. And 4 years old, he hadn't caught all the details, couldn't remember the name of the place where they were, but he just said this in the course of his prayer, God, that place needs some Shields. 4 years old. Man, my heart thrilled. And then to hear those other boys praying, and I think about the utilization of every believer, the power of corporate prayer. And you look at the book of Acts and the history that it is, and over half the praying that is recorded in the book of Acts is corporate praying. You look at, you do a study of it, and I have marked in my Bible some 18 different instances of God's people in a corporate setting praying together, and when they did, things happened. And I watched young boys, I've seen children pray and God answer prayer, and I've seen them get a burden for missions. I think about utilizing believers, the power of corporate prayer to utilize every believer, whether it's new believers like here, young believers, children. We've had a lot of folks that come to us from different backgrounds than Bible-believing, Bible-preaching backgrounds, and to see them growing in the faith. And to hear some of these folks in a corporate setting, as we break up in prayer groups and pray together, to hear some of them testify to the rest of the people in their prayer group to say something like this. Now, y'all, please understand, I've never prayed out loud before. My wife meeting with some of these ladies, and then over the weeks to, you know, prayer is a powerful teaching tool. And to hear, I want the kids in our church to hear other men and ladies in the church pray. They learn things about God. They learn about trust. They learn how to express dependence. They learn how to ask God for things, and they get to see answers to prayer as they pray. So the utilization of corporate prayer, it's powerful because it utilizes every believer. I notice this as well, the unction of corporate prayer, a synonym for power. Notice what happens. They continued steadfast. The idea of continuing steadfast is they clung tightly to, they shadowed. I have a daughter who at the end of most every church service, my 13-year-old daughter, she will come. She's a little shy, and she will come and she will cling right to my side. And while I'm standing there greeting folks, she is clinging. She's continuing steadfastly. I move, she moves. Where I go, she goes. And that's the idea here. These new believers, these believers in the church at Jerusalem, they're clinging to the apostles' doctrine. They're clinging to fellowship. They're clinging to the breaking of bread. And they're clinging to corporate prayer. Notice what happens. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. It's been exciting to see, as we've committed to corporate prayer, and to hear testimony of this church, how you've committed to corporate prayer, to see unction that results, power that results, God answering prayers and doing things in a mighty way, to see material needs met, to see folks saved. And I'll mention a few specific instances. We've had multiple occurrences in the last 2 years that we've started these men's prayer meetings, and then even in the last several months where folks that we prayed for that they would be saved in a Saturday night men's prayer meeting, they would be saved in our services the next day. And do you know what that does in the heart of a man who's been on his face on Saturday night and he begs God to save souls? And then the next day the gospel is preached, an invitation is given, and someone responds. Someone we specifically prayed for. God does a work. And there's unction in corporate prayer, power in corporate prayer. And people begin to see it. And so get this, here's what's happening. These new believers, they're immediately getting involved. It's part of their discipleship, getting involved in corporate prayer. And they're seeing that as they pray, God is answering their prayers, and they are able to be utilized and part of a powerful process right from the very beginning days of their Christian life. Corporate prayer is part of the DNA. If you extract corporate prayer from the church, may I say, as kindly and compassionate as I can, and yet as plainly as I can, you extract corporate prayer from the DNA of a church and you really cease to have a New Testament church. Okay. So there's the utilization of corporate prayer, the unction of corporate prayer. A month ago on a Wednesday night, we had missionary Michael Raines in our Wednesday evening service. Michael and I went to Bible college together. He's one of my heroes. And he preached a message. He did not know that every Wednesday night this year we've been preaching a series on corporate prayer from the book of Acts. I didn't tell him. He got it preached from Acts 12. My assistant pastor is preaching from Acts 12. Preached from Acts 12 tonight. Michael made a point that has gripped our folks. And he referenced Leviticus chapter 26 and verse number 8, where God speaking of a visible symbol of his blessings on the nation of Israel, 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall chase 10,000. as a visible symbol of God's power and blessing on the nation of Israel. And Brother Michael took that as a spiritual application to the praying of God's people today in a corporate setting. He said, when we are committed to corporate prayer, spiritually speaking, God will take our prayers and the prayer of five can chase 100. And I'm telling you what, I have not knelt at a Saturday evening men's prayer meeting the same way in the last month. Whether 5 or 6 or 10, we've had as many as 17. But I have not knelt the same way because I envision in my mind that spiritual principle that when 5 of us get on our knees and pray, God is through us doing the work of many more than 5. Because of the power of corporate prayer. God's people are committed to it. The utilization of corporate prayer puts new believers to work and they see God doing things right away. It helps fasten their heart to Him and His plan. The unction of corporate prayer. And then I see this as well briefly, the unity of corporate prayer. I'm speaking from my own experience, but I dare say that you'll be hard-pressed to find a church that has a great deal of splitting and disunity going on if they're committed to corporate prayer. Because one of the results of corporate prayer is unity among God's people. Look at verse number 44. And they that believed were together. Again, all of this in the context of this continuing steadfastly in prayers. And all that believed were together. Can I just throw this in? Here's a Missouri Country Boy rabbit trail. That's why it burdens me as a pastor when I preach on Wednesday night and I see someone during the closing prayer before we go to corporate prayer get up and slip out. This is something every believer can be involved in and see God do something. The unity of corporate prayer. They that believe were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. This is not a biblical basis for communism. Communism is what's yours is mine. Biblical selflessness and sacrifice is what's mine is yours. And there's unity that results. As you get on your knees and you pray with people and you hear them unload their burdens before the Lord, you begin to unite in common cause and heart with them. They sold their possessions and good and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord. This is a musical term. It's a great term. With one accord, it's the idea of notes moving at a very high rate of speed and yet in perfect harmony along the score of sheet music. The symphony, though you're playing different notes, they're moving together in harmony and even at a high rate of speed, a fast tempo. They continued daily. Things were moving fast. You look at the book of Acts, and though it covers 30 years of history, it's so action-packed. And the reason that there was unity and there was the manifestation of power and the work that God did is because these people were praying together and the result was togetherness and one accord. In the temple, breaking bread from house to house, they did eat their meat with gladness. The idea of this gladness is they were sharing and welcoming into what they had, they shared with others. There was a gladness, a welcoming gladness in their unity. They liked being around each other. They ate their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. The word singleness has the idea of no stubbing their toe. The things that trip other people up, they were not tripping these people up. Because of their commitment to corporate prayer, unity was resulting. Gladness, singleness of heart, praising God. Think about this. There's something of a cycle praying. You pray as a result of trust, but in the praying, more trust and faith comes. Okay, that's a cycle, a biblical cycle. But as you pray and as you trust, the result is praising. Listen, you give your cares to the Lord, you trust Him, and your spirit is freed. Praising results. And so now they're praising God. And notice this, then there becomes an external testimony. Back up in verse number 43, fear came upon every soul. These people are committed to corporate prayer in the church at Jerusalem, and God is manifesting, is answering, is showing His power in a visible way, and people outside the church are seeing tremendous results. The idea of fear coming upon every man or upon all or every soul here is the idea of awe. People are in awe of what God is doing, and what God is doing is connected to corporate prayer. Notice verse 47, they're praising God and having favor with all the people. It's the idea of pleasing and acceptable before the face of. Having favor with all the people, God is giving them grace and favor in the eyes of the rest of the people of Jerusalem. And here is a final thought, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The unity of corporate prayer. Corporate prayer is powerful because it produces unity. It produces unity that results in helping others. We see that in this passage. Meeting the physical needs of others. It produces unity in the home. They're breaking bread at home or from house to house. Unity in the home. It produces unity in the heart. There's singleness of heart. It produces unity for doing God's work in the harvest field. Study the last two chapters of the book of Romans sometimes. Paul is addressing the church at Rome, and he's hoping to come by way of them on his way to Spain. And he advocates and he keeps hitting the same note over and over of unity because he understands if you're going to help me on my way in the Great Commission, you've got to be unified as a local church. The church at Rome is going to give full support, maximum effect in helping Paul and his work of fulfilling the Great Commission. It's going to require unity in the church at Rome. And if there's going to be unity, there has to be a commitment to corporate prayer. The power of corporate prayer. In the last 2 years since we have been committed to these Saturday night prayer meetings, and then the renewed emphasis our Wednesday nights, I'm thinking of multiple instances where we would kneel and beg God for soul or beg God to do a work. I remember a man by the name of Russ, who's a carpenter. We got on our knees one Saturday night in the early days of these Saturday night prayer meetings. And his brother and sister-in-law and nephew were going to be in church the next day. And Russ specifically prayed, God, would you save Tracy tomorrow? Tracy's the 15-year-old nephew. The next day, they all came to church, preached, gave the invitation. No response to the invitation as far as Tracy was concerned, but I was standing at the back of the auditorium at the end of the service, and Tracy just came up and he just stood next to me like this. I had been talking to other people, and I leaned over and said, Tracy, you doing all right? He goes, yeah, yeah. I said, can I do something for you? He goes, yeah, yeah. I said, Tracy, do you need to be saved? Yeah. I grabbed Russ, his uncle. I said, come on, Russ, let's go. And Russ and I went downstairs and opened the scriptures and led Tracy to Christ. I think about one of our men who, even when I'm not able to be there on a Saturday night, I'll have him lead the Saturday night prayer meeting. His name's Mike. He takes care of our sound system. He's a retired Navy chief and retired Bell South lineman. He begins every prayer on Saturday night with these words, Abba, Father, Daddy. The first Saturday night of September, he had asked God, he said, God, my daughter, my son-in-law need to be saved. Would you save them, Lord? Do a work in their lives. Lord, do a miracle. The next day they were in church. I told the Baptist history class about this the other day. It's one of the most amazing things I've ever seen as a preacher during the invitation. As I was given the invitation, I asked if God's working in your heart today and you've got questions about your salvation, you have doubts about where you'll spend eternity and your relationship with Jesus Christ, just slip up your hand so I can pray for you. They went like this, standing right next to each other, next to the back row. They both looked at each other. Now, folks, we prayed for them the night before. They looked at each other. They went like this, and they went. Both raised their hand. Out into the aisle they went, to the back. My wife took the wife out and dealt with her, and one of our deacons took the man out, led him to Christ. Sunday night when they left church, and there have been struggles and ups and downs, but Sunday nights when they left church, Drew gave me a big old hug at my neck. Here's a man that was saved as a result of praying on a Saturday night. I think about a lady that was saved in our services several years ago, but there were some issues in her life, and she left her husband, took a job in China, Shanghai. Boy, we were burdened about that, thought the marriage was going to break up, and every Saturday night we would pray, God, would you restore that marriage? God, if you can follow Jonah to Tarsus, you can follow this lady to Shanghai. God, would you reach all the way into Shanghai? Would you convict her? God, would you reclaim her? About 3 months ago, 2 a.m, my wife got an email. She didn't see it, of course, till the next morning. I'm so dry spiritually over here in Shanghai. The email began something like that. God's gotten a hold of me. I'm coming home. Do you know how excited I was to stand up in a Sunday night service and share that answer to prayer? And I pray that there never comes a day in the life of Crossroads Baptist Church or Falls Baptist Church that we ever diminish the importance of corporate prayer, because there's power in it. Father, thank you for your word. As we go to prayer tonight, help us to do so with full faith in your ability to hear and answer and move, we pray in Jesus' name.